Well, hello there. Welcome to Relationship Revelations. My name is Sheila Joan Harvey, and today we're going to be talking about how dramatically relationships have changed over the time. A lot of you may have been hearing about the different sort of energies coming on the planet at the moment, and it's like spirits bridged across the old way of doing things and into the new. And the good news is we just really have to walk across that bridge. And it sounds very easy, which of course it does sound easy, because it is quite easy when you think, if we can just let go of the old, if we can let go of all the things that we have done that haven't worked for us and just move into the new, and that's possible. And what that requires is an intention. That is an intention of what you want for your life right now. You might not know it, but you've actually graduated with top honors. And the course that you've graduated from is the 20th Century Dysfunctional Relationships, the Art of Making Life Tough, Hard, and Difficult. Well, I think a lot of us have definitely been masters in how to make our lives tough, hard, and difficult. And what we're going into now, and you are now enrolled in the 21st Century Masters course. And this relationships course is with freedom, living life with grace, ease, and loving. Now, if we could just hold that as an intention, support that with our thoughts, and really hold that, we could move quite easily from the one to the other. However, we have a lifetime of limiting beliefs, a lifetime of being brought up with negative conditioning. So really today is a little bit about some techniques that may assist you in just moving from the old into the new, and what blocks us from basically living our lives from freedom. Now, the only relationship we ever truly have is with ourselves. So every situation and every person who comes into our life is only going to reflect back to us who we actually are. I have a lovely quote here from John Roger and Paul Kay, and this is the book called What's It Like Being You, and Paul Kay is going to be a guest on the show next month. Looking forward to that. They say, life is like looking in a mirror. What is reflected back to us by way of other people is the state of our own being, our consciousness. If we are angry, we may think that person over there is pretty angry. If we're full of doubt, then we may think that the other person is full of doubt. The big secret is that beyond the mirror is the land of soul. Now, if you're looking for love, then that's where it resides. It's in the soul. If you're going to keep looking to the world to fulfill you, then you're always going to be disappointed. It's looking to the spirit. And when you look to the spirit and you come into that greater acceptance of yourself, into that greater loving and unconditional loving, it's much easier then for that to be reflected in your relationships in the world. So I hear people saying to me, and a lot of work I do with people, they say, you know, well, how do you have greater freedom? Well, you know, freedom's a kind of an interesting concept, because a lot of people seem to have this concept that, you know, if I just do what I want to do when I want to do, that's freedom, because I can do just whatever I want. Well, of course, you know, that sometimes means trampling over other people's hearts and their emotions, their feelings, doing what you want. But really, what freedom encompasses everybody. You take everyone into consideration and are thoughtful of other people. And with freedom, I had a lovely situation in Sydney of a friend of mine who, I cannot tell you just how much energy and time he put into wanting to be able to speed in his car, but he didn't want to get a speeding ticket. And so he was constantly on the lookout all the time for police cars, you know, where there was a speed trap, so that he could go at the speed that he wanted, because to him that was freedom. He didn't want anyone telling him what he could do. Well, of course, one day I just turned around to him after hearing this, and of course all the time and energy into trying getting out of speeding tickets that he got. And one day I said to him, you know, has it ever occurred to you to just stick to the speed limit? And the look on his face was actually a picture. I wish I'd had a camera with me, because to him that was just a horrendous thought. No, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. But the truth is, that's rebelliousness. He was rebelling against authority. And a lot of people think that freedom is something that is, you know, it's actually often rebelliousness. And discipline is what you need to have greater freedom. If you're going to have greater freedom, it's taking care of the things that you need to do so you can then relax. I was just thinking about that the other day when I was looking around the house, and I was thinking, gosh, you know, the carpet needs cleaning and vacuuming, and the pots in the sink, and the bed needs making, and there were piles of books there and some papers around that I've been working with. And I thought, you know, when I look around the place that I'm living in right now, you know, everything that's out of place makes me feel uneasy. And I thought, well, you know, the best thing to do is to get in there and clean it up, which I did. And then when I looked around and I put some fresh flowers around, everywhere I looked in my apartment, everything was where it was meant to be. And what I had was this real sense of freedom, of, you know, relief, because it was like, I can relax. So freedom often comes from doing what you need to do. Sometimes it's cooperating with authority. It is doing the things that need to be done so that you can, in fact, relax and enjoy the freedom. Now, what stands in the way of having freedom? Well, there's several things, but the major thing that I would like to talk about today, and this is really a master addiction on the planet that really blocks us from having the freedom that we would like, and that is control. Now, along with control is also manipulation. The two things kind of tend to go hand in hand. And if you think that you're not much of a controller, all you need is a couple of people wanting to watch a different television program with the remote and trying to see who gets to see the program that they really want to see. So control can come in many, many shapes and forms, and it shows up in different ways. I mean, some people control through sex. Either I'll give you sex to get what I want, or I will hold sex till I get what I want. Some people control through money. Often in relationships you have unequal earning power, so when somebody is earning more money, often they feel they can dictate how the money is spent. Anger is a way that we control, because most of us don't like to have anger dumped on us, so often we will go along with what somebody's doing because it's easier. Sickness is another way that we can control other people, because you're not feeling well, so they have to take care of you. And I remember as a child when I got sick, I certainly got a lot of attention. And so we often find ourselves doing things almost unconsciously. And I would find that, you know, I'd get sick and I expect to have attention. And then, of course, I ended up in my early 20s being married to a man who couldn't bear the thought of me being sick. He just absolutely hated it. So I went from one extreme to the other, and that is, all of a sudden now, if I was sick, I got absolutely zero attention. So all of a sudden I learned, well, I'm not going to get any attention, and this is all unconscious. So I went the reverse, and that way I would be completely stoic. I would find that I would push through things. I would actually work when I wasn't well, because I just felt like, well, I can't be sick. This isn't something I can do. And, you know, we all have things from childhood in terms of the way we control our world to feel safe. Most of us, when we are very small, have things happen to us. Our world goes from being a little baby, from total unconditional loving, hopefully. But I know there are exceptions, but on the whole, I think most of us were lucky to have a lot of loving around us when we were little. And, you know, things happen. People, you know, do things. People are cruel. People are unkind. And a lot of times it isn't always what happens to us, but what we tell ourselves as a result of what happens to us that often is more the key. And so we go from being, you know, very open, very trusting, very loving, very vulnerable, little, you know, open little babies, to all of a sudden things in life happening, and then we start building up defense mechanisms. We start blocking the world out, we think, in order to protect ourselves, to stop ourselves from getting hurt. And of course, when we're very, very young, we may not always do that in the best way. So when we grow up, we may still be in the same, doing some of the same things that we did when we were children. We react in the same way. So control is often something that we learn to do in a specific way growing up in order for us to keep ourselves safe, to stop ourselves from getting hurt. But the ironic thing, of course, as we get older, if we start doing some of these same things again, unfortunately, we usually don't get exactly what it is that, you know, that we would really like to have. So, control, it's like, how do we let go of control? And how do you feel when somebody's trying to control you? You can always tell major controllers, you know, if somebody's telling you something and they've got that finger wagging at you in your face, you know, telling you what to do. So, you know, how do you feel when somebody is trying to control you? Well, I think most of us feel resentful. We feel angry. And the thing that, well, it's kind of sad in a way, because usually what happens when people get controlled and they go along with something, because there's anger and resentment, you may think that they're actually going along with what you're doing at this particular point in time. But, you know, there's always that point when they'll get you back. And I'm sure many of you can recall times where something's happened with somebody and later they did something and you went, where did that come from? But people do that. People store things up. Now, you know, in this enlightened age, we'd like to think we don't do that, but we're human beings. We're still doing things that we did like when we were five-year-olds. We still want to get revenge on people and they do something to us, you know. It takes a lot to move past some of these early patterns and conditioning. My mother always said a wonderful thing to me growing up. She always said, you know, give people enough rope, they'll hang themselves. And so it's good not to get into that revenge and to recognize that there is karma, that people do get back what they put out, and that God in many respects is in a much better position to hand things out in a way that's even and is fair. And I don't know another person's karma. I don't know what another person is here to do in their lives. So it's like, for me, it's like, you know, just place it in the light, send them on their way, and just trust that, you know, there is that higher power that takes care of things. So, you know, with control, people who control tend to, you know, there is a reason why people control, and a lot of it comes back down to fear. Show me a major controller and I'll show you somebody who is extremely fearful. In fact, I think people control to the level of fear that they hold inside themselves. And we basically are all doing the best that we know how. But there is a reason why people control in a specific way. Controlling is, it's almost like it's a familiar pattern. Somebody does something, it's familiar to them. It's almost like they have very small boundaries from which they work in. And they do that because it feels comfortable and it's familiar to them. And if you ever known, you know, to come across one of these controllers, you'll know if somebody's asked you to do something and you've done it and you've gotten the result, and then they turn around and they say to you, no, no, that's not the way to do it. You've done it wrong. And that's another thing that controllers tend to do. They have a right way of doing things and everything else isn't right. So with controlling, you get a lot of rigidity. You get a lot of inflexibility. In controlling, it usually is always right. There's a righteousness that often goes along with that. It's familiar. And you know, often keep repeating the same things over and over and over and over again. And with that, how do you let go of that control? How do you move from that? Because, you know, it's quite a strong pattern. And there are kind of different kind of controllers, like there's the very out there controllers. I'm a very strong personality, so if I control, it's very out there, very obvious. Then you get what they call the passive aggressives, and they're the people who'll always say, oh, yes, I'll do that, and then they don't do it. They do their own thing. So they get it. They do it in their own way. They're going to do what they want to do when they want to do it, regardless of what they say and do. And that's another way of them controlling. People who withhold their loving from somebody else is a form of control. And that's often little children, when they cry, when a parent's angry with them, is often because they have felt that loving withdrawn from them, and it scares them, and they get very fearful and they cry. So withholding loving, and John Roger, who is my spiritual teacher, and you know, I do tend to quote him a lot. He said some very wise things over the years, and he said there isn't a reason good enough to withhold the loving, and that's something that is a really lovely intention that we really hold in our loving for others and for ourselves, no matter what we're doing. So to move from control into freedom, which is really kind of the other side of that, and freedom is, with control, you've got like the rigidity, so with freedom, you have like a greater flexibility. It's a lot easier to be creative and inspired and have inspiration when you're in freedom, because with the other rigidity, a lot of those other things can't come through. It's, you know, you stay present and you can find that intuition, inspiration can come through. One of the ways that I've described going from control to freedom, because it's like this, for many it's like a huge chasm in the middle. It's a bit like, you know, jumping out of a plane without a parachute, only you know you're going to land safely. And there was in that lovely movie, The Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones, there is a part where he's actually looking for the Holy Grail, and he has to go across, and it's like this great big, you know, chasm and ravine, and it looks like there is no path to get from the one side to the other. And in working out, you know, the cryptic messages to actually get the keys to getting across, he actually put his foot out and stood on what seemed like there was nothing underneath it. And when he stood, you could actually see there really was a path, but it looked like it had just, you couldn't tell the difference between the rocks and the path. And stepping out took a tremendous leap of faith. And sometimes to give up the control and move into freedom, that's often what is required. What we're looking for is this huge leap of faith. And with that, what we need is we need tremendous loving. We need trust. Do we trust ourselves? Do we trust in spirit? Do we trust enough to be able to step forward into the unknown? And are we willing to surrender up that which no longer works for us? Now, some people think surrender means giving up, as in I gave up and I didn't win. I'm not talking about that kind of surrender. I'm talking about the kind of surrender where you give up what is no longer working. Because if it doesn't work, why are you holding on to it? So what we're looking for is, again, that loving, the trusting, the surrendering. And I have a lovely quote here from the Indian Jesuit Anthony de Mello, who said, "The student asks the master, 'What is love?' 'The total absence of fear,' the master replies." "What is it we fear?" the student asks. "Love," says the master. So many of us are fearful of real loving, of really surrendering to that place of loving. And yet, we all want to give and we all want to receive loving, which is really our natural state, the natural state of loving. So as we let go, what we're looking at is moving into that place of greater freedom, greater fulfillment, greater light and loving. And, yeah, how about we do that? You know, what I think I'm going to do right now is let's do a little meditation, a little healing for ourselves and for the planet, and see if we can just let go of some of those things that no longer work for us. So just take a moment now and just take a really deep breath in. And let that go. Take another deep breath in. And let that go. And just on that breath, just see if you can come into your center, into your heart. And just call yourselves forward into the light. And what I'd like you to do now is just imagine beautiful light coming in through the top of your head, bringing that down through your body. And as you bring it down through the body, just see that light expanding throughout the body, throughout all the cells of the body, through the skeleton, through all the organs, through all the hormones, all the glands, through the bloodstream, through the digestive system, just bringing a real healing and a balancing to your body. And let's just ask that any negativity, any karma, any imbalances that can be released, let's just ask now that these be released for the highest good of all. And as you put your hands on your heart, let's just ask for that divine love to heal our bodies, heal our minds. Heal our emotions. And now just see your whole body surrounded, filled with the light of the Christ, the light of loving. And that we can just surrender up at this time anything we no longer need, any limiting beliefs, any old conditionings and patterns that we no longer need, any habits that no longer serve us. We can right now in this moment come into the newness, come into the unconditional loving, come back into our hearts, which is where we truly reside. And now what I'd like you to do is to assist with healing on the planet by imagining a beautiful column of pure white light from the highest heaven through you, the light going out through your feet and down through to the center of the earth. This beautiful column of light bringing in so much unconditional loving, bringing balance, bringing grace, bringing ease for us all. And know that any time that anything comes up that's of a disturbance, place it in the light for the highest good, and just see it going up that light column, up to the highest levels and just dissolving into the nothingness from where it came. And now what we're going to do is just expand that light. See that light through your home so that your home is a beautiful place of sanctuary, of safety, a place where you can come and just regenerate and rejuvenate no matter what is going on in your life. No matter what is going on in the world, you can just come back into that loving. Come back into the heart. And expand that light now, that column of light, and see it expanding from your home into the whole area around you. And whatever there may be there, whether there's other homes, whether there is a school, shops, whatever is around, just see that light going out now, perfectly protecting, perfectly filled with light and love, that all people can touch into that light if it be for their highest good, because the light never inflicts itself upon anyone or anything. And now see that light expanding out to the town or the village or the city that you're living in. See that light just going everywhere, filling the buildings, filling the people. And now see that light expanding to the country that you're in right now. Just see that light throughout the whole of your country. And it may not be the country that you were born in, so you may want to send the light to that country, the place of your birth. And now let's just send that light, see the planet. See Mother Earth here. And just see that light, that white light around the planet. And we'll just ask that the Masters of Light, the Angels of Light, that spiritual assistance that's always available to us all, we just ask right now for all those for the highest good to join in this healing of the planet. So that we can send the light to all the world leaders for the highest good. And with all the problems in the world right now, to all the financial institutions, to all those light workers on the planet who are doing the work. And especially let's send the light and love to all those who don't really experience loving or kindness. And we just ask the Christ and the Spirit to bridge that gap between the loving they receive and the loving that they all need. And if you need more loving, ask for that too. Whatever you need right now to assist you in your life right now. Because as we heal ourselves, we can assist on the healing of the planet. We have peace within ourselves. We can assist with peace on the planet, but it always begins with us. So just place into that light any situations, anything that disturbs you, any people that you would like healing and love and light sent to for the highest good. And just know that Spirit always answers the prayers in our hearts. And now just take another deep breath in. And go. And just one more deep breath in. And now you can just bring your focus back into the room. And be aware of your chair that you might be sitting on or if you're lying down. And you can just start breathing normally. And one of the things, especially if anybody's going to be driving at any point soon, one of the things when we have been doing something like a really lovely deep meditation or if you meditate yourself, that sometimes we don't always come back in completely in the body, so we can do a sort of an E sound, which helps us to bring us back into balance into our bodies. And there's two ways of doing this. You can just do an E sound, like E, or you can actually stand up and then you kind of bend over like you're almost touching your toes. And you kind of come up and put your arms right in the air, and at the same time you do a and you can just do that a couple of times, because especially if you're ever going to be driving or anything, you need to be completely back in your body. Also, sometimes if you meditate and you feel like your back's out or something, it's a good idea to do that E sound, because that sometimes can bring you back into alignment with yourself quite quickly. So, another quote from John Roger on the Way Out book that he's written quite a lot of books, says, if you're taking care of yourself, you do those things that are good for you. You do those things that are for your health and well-being. And you do whatever is necessary to bring yourself into balance and into the love that is your spirit. So, we're looking at greater freedom. We're also then looking at, well, what will assist me to come into that greater balance? What do I need to do to take greater care of myself? And I'm sure if you were to spend a few moments, you could actually think of a few things that right now, you know, for some people, they really want to lose some weight. They feel out of balance. Some people want to give up smoking. Some people want to give up worrying, because, you know, that's another kind of addiction. Some of our addictions that hold us from actually being in that freedom. And freedom is what we really, really want. So some of the keys to having more energy, to having more freedom, is also to free up some of the energy that you may have, you know, been holding and storing up without even realizing it. One of the things I do when I notice that I might be feeling a little tired or don't seem to have a lot of energy, I check in and see if there are things outstanding in my life, whether there are things that I have said I'm going to do and I haven't completed them. And there is it's a strange thing, because, and I don't think most of us, or I certainly didn't know this till somebody told me, that energy is allocated in the body when you say you are going to do something, not when you are going to do it. So if you're the kind of person that says, oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to write to Mary, and I've got to do this, and I've got those emails I've got to do, and I've got to read those books, and I've got to do that, all that does is tie up a lot of energy, because that energy gets allocated in order for you to do what you say you're going to do. So a really good suggestion to help free up energy is to sit down and make a list of all the things that you have got outstanding right now, and look at actually completing them and freeing up that energy that right now you are, you know, it's not available to you. Now, I remember a number of years ago I was working with a gentleman who, in his house, it was just full of boxes. I thought he'd just moved in. And I said to him, oh, how long have you been here? And he said, oh, about 7 years. And I said, you haven't unpacked? He said, well, you know, I never really got the feeling I was going to stay here. So I just left everything in boxes. So I said, well, do you think after 7 years that maybe it's a good indicator that you might be staying a little longer? And he laughed and he said, yes. So we got he unpacked all the boxes, got things moved away, and he found that he lost weight. He'd been overweight, because it's almost like holding. What are you holding onto? He was able to feel freer in himself, because all of us, you know, every time he walked in, he just saw boxes. And what did that promote? It promoted in him the fact that he wasn't going to be staying. It promoted in him that he was going to be moving on. Well, it wasn't a reality. So basically, what he was doing was tying up energy, one, that he was going to move, and two, that these boxes aren't unpacked. So it's a really a sensible thing to do to look at some of the things that you have outstanding and start reclaiming your energy. Now, if you're one of these people who have about four or five books going at the same time, it's fine if you're reading them all and then you do complete them. But if you've got books that have been sort of sitting there half read, or you've read a couple of chapters and they've just been sitting there because you might get around to it, then it's a really good idea when you put books down like that, when you've finished with it, is to just kind of declare it complete. So that part inside knows, oh, you know what, we finished with that, we can move on, we can release that energy. And that's what you want. You want that energy to be released. You don't want it to be completely tied up. So I have a look at what is incomplete. Start doing those things. And I have what I call a someday maybe list. And that means that someday maybe I may do it, but someday maybe I might not. So I'm not actually tied into something. I'm not saying I'm definitely going to do something. And it just becomes a list that if it comes forward, it's terrific, and if it doesn't, well, it doesn't. In fact, I love my someday maybe list. I had a couple of things on there a few years back. I wanted to be, it sounds very frivolous now, but bought good champagne at the Beverly Hills, you know, hotel, the Polo Lounge. It was something that I was living in LA at the time, and I thought that would be rather cool to do. And that happened. But more, the other thing that I really wanted to do is I always wanted to meet Michael Caine. Now, he is somebody, apart from the fact that I think he's a wonderful actor, and I'm glad he's getting a lot of recognition, because I think for many years he was very underrated. But he's I'd heard stories about him as being a wonderful raconteur and a wonderful, wonderful storyteller, and I really, really wanted to meet him. So this was on my someday maybe list. Anyway, I have a friend of mine, Sally Kirkland, who is an actress, and she won a Golden Globe for her movie Anna. And she was doing a movie with Michael Caine and Roger Moore in England. And I happened to be there at the same time. And, I mean, she's worked with a lot of tremendous, tremendous actors and people. And I've never, ever gone on a set before. But I phoned her up and I said, I have always wanted to meet Michael Caine. So she organized it. So I went on the set. I got to meet him. He was extremely gracious. I got to spend quite a bit of time with him, and he chatted to me, and it was really lovely. So, you know, when you have something like a someday maybe list, you know, I'd start getting a little outrageous on some of those things that you'd like to do, because you just do not know what of those things will come to pass for you. And I'm a great believer, be outrageous, you know. I'm learning to get more outrageous, to ask for more, why think small? You know, why think small? It's, you know, when shoot for the moon, you might reach the stars. So you might as well shoot for the top, because you never know what you're going to do. So, you know, it's not about us being small anymore. Now that we're going over that wonderful bridge into greater light and loving, you know, we don't have to be small anymore. It's time to let go of those fears and those, you know, things that have blocked us, the procrastinations, the things that, you know, we make more important. It's time to give ourselves, you know, taking care of ourselves. Because often we're very good at doing it for other people, but do we take care of ourselves? And that's something that I think is, you know, really, really important. How well do you look after you? How well do you do things for you that make you feel good about yourself? Because, you know, you're the only one of you. And, you know, as a lot of people in marriages say, if I don't do the things for myself I want to do, I might never get them. Don't wait for somebody else to give you what you can give yourself. So make the list, whatever that is, whether it's cleaning out your wardrobe. So if there's any part of your home or car that you go to and you go, oh, my God, I must clear that up, that's a good thing to get done. Free up your energy. Have that energy and vitality available for you as you move forward in your life, because it's worth it. We want greater health, wealth, and happiness. That's what we're holding for. So free up that energy. Be a person who does what you say you do. And, you know, along with that is also keeping your word. Do you find that you do what you say you're going to do? And, you know, I think I said it earlier on that the only relationship we ever have is with ourselves, and, you know, every person and every situation that comes into our life is just a reflection of that. And sometimes it can be hard to see how, when we're in situations with people, how we are the ones that also create that situation, or that we're doing the same thing. I find that when I have something happen with somebody, whether it's a disagreement or, you know, a particular situation, I'll give you an example of that. I was involved a number of years ago in a relationship, and he would just disappear on me. He'd never let me know, wouldn't tell me that he was just going to disappear, and I could never get hold of him, sort of like secretaries would be between me, never answered the phone. And I never knew, quite frankly, how long it was going to be before I would hear from him again. And I remember a number of occasions getting very angry, and then I thought, well, no, hold on a second. This isn't anything to do with him. This is only to do with me. So what is it that I need to look at now? What is my reflection right now, and what is going on in this relationship? And usually when you're angry, it takes a little while to work it out. It's a good idea to do something to release anger, whether it's go for a walk around the block, get some pillows on a bed and beat your pillows hard and just get rid of some of that angst. There's another kind of technique called free-form writing where you kind of write, you know, you write all this stuff down, you don't reread it, and you burn it, so you can just take all that negative energy and put it onto paper, burn it, and let it go. So when you're through the anger, then often you can start to see, now what is this to do with me? Well, inside of me at times, I left the relationship. I moved away. But just because it didn't look the same on the outside didn't mean there wasn't a part of me that was disappearing and pulling back. So there's always a way that we can look at what happens to us and say, okay, how is that true of me? Another example, in my early 20s when I was married, I remember looking back at when I first heard this mirror concept, that everyone's a mirror, and I thought, gosh, I was with somebody who lied, absolutely out and out lied. I thought, you know, I'm an honest person. I never lie, you know. And I thought, well, okay, I might need a little bit of digging here, but what is it that I need to look at right now that I can say, what is it that I do? It took a while, but I discovered that I withheld. In other words, instead of sharing freely what was going on for me and sharing in a relationship, I was withholding. That awful fear, oh my God, if I say that, they're going to hate me, or they're going to leave me, or whatever it is that we do, especially, you know, when we're younger and we're just like, oh, I just, you know, so fearful. So everybody is a reflection. Everybody just brings to us exactly what we need to learn right now. And if somebody is doing something, and especially if it seems familiar, because, you know, usually the things we do are generally familiar. It's not just to this situation or with this person. It's something that we recognize as, oh, that sounds a little familiar. Then stop and take a look and just say, hey, okay, what do I need to do differently? Because it's never about the other person. Even though I do a lot of work with people, you know, I don't think it's my job to fix anybody. It's my job to fix me and be willing to look at what I do that doesn't work for me and do what I need to do to move past that. And the greatest thing is to do it with forgiveness and great loving and compassion for yourself. Because we're often compassionate with our friends. We're often loving with other people. And yet we can be really tough, hard, and difficult with ourselves. But we graduated from that course. We are masters at doing that. So now we want to be masters of loving, masters of freedom and grace and ease. So it's about just looking at things. We don't have to judge ourselves while we're doing it. We don't have to be hard on ourselves. We don't have to add to it with our mind chatter. Oh, my God, if people knew, what would they think? Or, you know, it's like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I must be an awful person. We don't need to put judgments on top. We can just let all that go because we don't need to do that. this may take a little practice because, you know, we're rather practiced at the other stuff. We're very practiced at the negativity. If I ask people to make a list of the things they don't like about themselves and the things they love about themselves, you can tell which would be the long list, the negativity, and the short list is the positivity. And yet how crazy that we wouldn't win in our own minds, that we would hold things negative against ourselves. Because at the end of the day, how much of what we believe in or think is even true? I mean, all you have to do is put a room full of people together who were at the same incident some time back and ask them all to describe what happened, and you will not get two people agreeing. Our memories play terrible tricks with us. So if our memories are going to play terrible tricks, why don't we just have memories that are really great about who we are, what we've done? I remember once I was going through a difficult phase, I started saying to myself, my God, I'm terrific. I'm amazing. I understand why people want to be friends with me. I'm just great. And some people would say, because I come from England, oh, blowing your own trumpet. But you know something? What I recognized is nobody was going to blow my trumpet for me. So it makes sense to tell yourself things that are going to make you feel better about yourself, rather than saying things that are going to make you feel even worse than you've already felt. We know how to make ourselves feel bad. Do you know how to make yourself feel good? Because with freedom, we don't want to feel bad. We want to feel light. We want to feel nurtured. We want to feel that we're cherished and loved. And we do that through spirit and through loving and caring for ourselves. So I was talking about keeping our word. Keeping our word, it sounds innocuous, but it's one of the things that I have found when I've been talking with people, and I've experienced it a lot myself, that there are often times where we say one thing and do something else. And also an example, you know, of people not doing what they say they're going to do one thing else. I had that happen with me with somebody who kept saying one thing and did something else. And I found that there were things that I had said I was going to do and I wasn't doing it. So you can always look at the situation. You can always look at what is going on. And if you're honest, you will find your part in what is happening. It's not our job to fix somebody else. It's our job to just do what we need to do for ourselves. And how can we be kind and loving to others? It's often very difficult when we're feeling negativity and anger. But, you know, we can do that. We can move above that because we can make a choice to be loving. Loving is a choice. It's a decision. Because, you know, any parent will tell you, after changing lots of dirty nappies and being up all night with kids, you don't hate the kid for keeping you up all night. You love them anyway. And that's the kind of loving we want for ourselves. We love ourselves no matter what. We're human. A mistake is only a mistake if we don't learn from it. But if we're learning from it, wow, then that's just another stepping stone in our solid foundation of who we really are. We can build that foundation by moment to moment making a choice to choose the loving. So things go wrong in our lives. Welcome to the world. Welcome to this universe. Things will show up. It doesn't mean we have to let them bring us down. We can still choose the loving. So in keeping your word, are there things that you say you're going to do but you're not doing? Because it's better to say, I'm only going to do a couple of things and actually complete them. Because that way, you then have that real self-esteem and you build that inner self-trust, which is really about us keeping our word and being a person we can be counted on. I think we all like to think we're a person that we can be counted on. So all we have to do, if we haven't been doing that, is move into this moment right now. And no, I'm a person who can be counted on. And occasionally, and I'm not, and I'm working at getting better and doing better. So inside of us, we have a part of us, and this part doesn't distinguish when we say something, whether if we don't keep our word, it doesn't distinguish between our little white lies. So in other words, if you say you're going to meet somebody at 12 o'clock and you're there at 12:01, it goes, you lied. If you got there a month later, you lied. It's no difference. That part does not distinguish. We think, oh, a minute's not a big deal. But that part inside just keeps a track of all the times we say we're going to do something and we don't do it. And it says, we lied. And this is a part that generally assists us to go out and get the things that we want. It's called a basic self. And it assists us to keep us safe. It's the part that loves chocolate and sex. So we know that part really well. And, you know, it gets disappointed that we constantly do things and we don't follow through and we don't keep our word. So there's some ways to do this. Only say you're going to do something if you're going to follow it through. And that way, that builds that self-trust, self-esteem inside you. And if you know you don't want to do something, don't say yes. Say, can I get back to you on that? Right now, I don't know. Just be honest. I don't know that I want to go to dinner on Friday night. Can I let you know on Friday? If that's a problem, then I'll just say no. So there are a lot of things in terms of, you know, what we've been talking about today. Hold the intention of what it is you want to create in your life right now. It doesn't matter what happened up until this minute. Yesterday is gone. Christ said the sins of today are enough. That means you don't have to take into tomorrow anything that's happened today. So let go. So things didn't work out, let it go. Put everything in the light. Surround yourself with the light for the highest good. Surround the people in your life. Send it ahead of you wherever you go. It's time to be the new you. As we walk across a bridge, you know, of loving and light, it's wonderful to know that we do not have to keep on doing and perpetuating the things we've always done. I loved a quote by Sarah Jessica Parker, and I think it's very much a quote for today. She says, after all, computers crash, people die, relationships fall apart. The best we can do is breathe and reboot. And isn't that the truth? So breathe. It's time to reboot that computer, that mind. It's time to take out that endless loop tape that puts you down. It's time to bring yourself back into, you know, that loving. Be kind. Be very gentle with yourself. Know that you are worthy. And I have a lovely quote here, and I just think it's wonderful. Neil Donald Walsh, I think it was the first book of Conversations with God. And what he said was, you are goodness and mercy and compassion and understanding. You are peace and joy and light. You are forgiveness and patience, strength and courage, a helper in time of need, a comforter in time of sorrow, a healer in time of injury, a teacher in times of confusion. You are the deepest wisdom and the highest truth, the greatest peace and the grandest love. You are these things. And in moments of your life, you have known yourself as these things. Choose now to know yourself as these things always. So, if I had a blessing and a wish for you this week, it's come back into your heart that knows the truth of who you truly are. And we often finish our seminars by saying, Beirush Beishan. The blessings already are. God bless you.